Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back. So today we have with us Kim Gross. And Kim is the published author of her brand new book that is out right now, which is titled, are you ready for it? Free to Be, A Pathway to Inner Liberation. And this is just going to be an incredible conversation because not only is Kim a published author and talking about the liberations and finding freedom and all the things to just really empower you to let go of those limiting beliefs, that chase of perfection, those masks that we wear, but she's also the founder and creator of the 5-Step Power Pathway. She helps people pleasers and perfectionists who have spent a lifetime of perpetual suffering because they have identified with these patterns. She helps guide clients on a journey of self-healing so that they can have more meaningful connections and have the courage to create the life they desire. So welcome, Kim.
Thank you so much, Rachel. I'm so excited.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Before we hit record, first of all, Kim and I met a few weeks back. I mean, not too long ago. And we just had an instant connection and our stories aligned, our missions, our goals, like everything was just synergetically aligned. And I was like, we have got to unpack the unmasking. And what better place to have this on this podcast where we talk about what it means to step fully into your power, your potential, and what it feels like to just let that stuff go. All the things, right? So I know we have a lot to unpack, but Kim, I would love to pass the mic to you and just share a little bit more about this journey, right? The book, the story, everything that you have accomplished and achieved. But we're going to talk about achievements and success and what that means today.
Again, thank you for having me on. I'm really super excited and honored to be here. And as you mentioned, my book, Free to Be, is really the ultimate testament to me removing my mask. Because in the book, I share my soul. I share vulnerable stories, letting the world see who I am. More importantly than the people out there that I don't know, but my inner circle, my family, my friends, the people I went to high school with that knew me with the masks on. They knew Kim, the people pleaser, Kim, the perfectionist. They didn't know what I truly thought, felt, or believed because I hid that. I was too afraid to share my true self, my whole self, because I learned at such an early age that if I am my true self, if I'm just being me, either A, it was not enough. And that was it most of the time, which is why I started to wear the perfection mask. Because just being a kid and just being free, riding my bike and playing in the snow wasn't freaking enough. I wasn't seen. I wasn't noticed. I felt invisible. When I was in grade school, Kim was a pleasure to have in class. She was a good little girl who sat in the back and was quiet. So I wasn't seen. And then, so that's how I started to wear the people pleasing and perfection mask. And that just led to a long list of issues and problems, including a chronic autoimmune disease, including anxiety and depression, compulsive overeating, loneliness, not feeling connected to the people in my life. And it was more importantly, not feeling connected to my own two kids. And that was really something that really precipitated me doing the work because I loved my kids. They were the most important thing. And being a mom was so important. And I just didn't have the connection. I couldn't be vulnerable with my own two children because I had learned not to be vulnerable. And so that was a real big catalyst for me doing the growth work. And I am all about personal development. I'm all about growth work. My two core values in life, Brené Brown always talks about core values, and they are growth and connection. Oddly enough, connection is a core value for me, and it's something that was elusive for so many years because I wore the mask. I couldn't connect. But those are my two core values. And so then that led me to doing my podcast, which I started 4.5 years ago, and then now writing the book, Free to Be, A Pathway to Inner Liberation.
Oh, wow. I love how you just unpacked all that. I'm jotting down so many notes that I feel like this is the setup for just an incredible conversation. Gosh, how many of us are wearing masks? How many of us have stripped off our identities and conform to what others want or expect of us? And in doing so, we forego our own needs, wants, and desires, and we lose ourselves amongst the chase of people-pleasing and perfectionism and the imposter syndrome and self-doubt because we've lost touch of who we are. And it feels like this attachment and disconnection of what we're actually after. So it's like we got two things in our hands. We're starving for attention. We're starving to be noticed. We're starving to be seen. Like, somebody, please shout it from the rooftops. I'm here. But on the other side, we're just like, but don't notice me because I'm afraid I'll mess up. I'm afraid I'll be too much. I'm afraid I won't be accepted or loved. And I'm afraid that deep down, I'm really not enough for you. Right? Like, how many of us go through that? And the fact that you just unpacked it, I feel like the deep core wants, needs, and desires that have been stifled by what the world and others and even our own limiting beliefs have suppressed.
Full body chills when you say that.
Right. Like, literally, as you're sharing this, I'm like thinking, man, this is going to really hit home on so many levels for so many individuals. And before we preface, you know, before we dive into the conversation and topics, I want to preface this, that you don't have to be a people pleaser. You don't have to be a perfectionist to have those core values feel like they're not acknowledged. And I think that that's ultimately what today's episode is really about, is to have that freedom and liberation to fully step into your power, your purpose, and your true identity. But who are you? That's the question. So,
well, and that's the thing, right? Because before the age of 10, when I really started to perform, perfect, and please, I knew what it felt like at times to be my true self. Whenever I was in nature and I was connected to the present moment, that was me being my true self. So when I was a little girl, I used to love, like, as a girl, I loved playing in the mud. I don't know why. Like, I would, whenever it rained and there's just puddles, I would play in my backyard and there's this like wood plank that I would walk along and just really being in the moment of watching the mud and the water splash, like, every moment, or whether I was jumping in the leaves. Anytime I built a snow fort or did a snow angel, just being in the moment and connected and feeling this. And I didn't have the words for it when I was 8 years old. But now in hindsight, I know that I was feeling like the omnipresence of the universe. What's out there in nature is in me. What's in the ocean, in the sun, in the trees is in me. That energy that's out there is in me. And so I knew that on some level because I had such peace and such stillness when I was in those moments. And what happened was when I would go to school or go back into my home where things were different, like in my home, there was chaos and there was dysfunction. And I was afraid to rock the boat with my mom and set her off. So I was the good little girl all the time. Just being quiet, saying what my mom wanted me to say, thinking and feeling the way she wanted me to think and feel. Because if I said the wrong thing, how dare you say that? You're not my daughter, right? So that's what was happening in the home. And then when I was in school and I was just an average student, or I was quiet in the background, And I was comparing myself to my classmates and feeling like I was coming up short. Those were the moments when I was like, okay, now I can't be that true self that I felt when I was in the snow or in the mud or swimming or on my bike. So that's when I obviously was subconscious. I didn't know that I was doing this, but somehow my intelligence in there somewhere, my subconscious was like, how am I going to protect myself? Because putting myself out there for the world is not safe. And so that's when I learned how to, okay, let me perform, let me perfect, let me keep pleasing. And even in middle school and high school, just having all the parties at my house, because my mom and dad, they didn't pay attention. Or if they were, they pretended that they didn't know that we were partying and drinking. And even though classmates were out on the front lawn puking, and one classmate would go down and say to my mom and say, could we have some orange juice? I've got a sore throat. You know, meanwhile, but my mom's like, sure, here's some orange juice. Oh, I hope you feel better. But the orange juice was mixed with the vodka. And so Kim was cool. You could go and party at her house, right? So pleasing, all sorts of stories like that of just trying to fit in. Because at the end of the day, we are wired for connection. But as Brené Brown beautifully states, that there is a difference between fitting in and belonging. And what I was trying to do was fit in. When I was before 10 and I was in nature, I knew I belonged. And I knew that I was meant to be in the world. But then as soon as I got back in my home or I was in school, I didn't feel that way.
Oh my goodness. Chills for me, because as you're sharing this, I'm literally nodding. I'm jotting down again so many touch points that I want to hit on, because, man, that perform, perfect, please. It's that vicious cycle. And I talk about the same cycle in my book, and I coined it as this perpetual cycle of self-abuse. Because what are we doing? We keep beating ourselves up. And when we think about abuse, sometimes it can have, you know, that heavy connotation, but yet we're our own worst critics, we're our own worst enemy, and we're the ones putting ourselves through this pain on a perpetual cycle. So as you're sharing these, I mean, gosh, the
like I said,
perform, perfect, please. Then you talked about the peace and the inner stillness of being one with your higher power, your source, creator. And that same power that created the world is also what created you. And that is the power that lies within you, right? It's such a sacred gift that it's almost like we're praying for one thing, but yet not living in the blessing that we've already received as the gift. So how do we turn in and tune in so that we can really tap into that power, the same power that created the sun, moon, and stars, created the whole world, created you and I?
But instead, I know it's really so simple, but so difficult at the same time for people to get there. We all come in with that. We all come in with that feeling and that knowing, right? And that's why children are the closest to source, because they know. Mm-hmm. It's about returning home to that place. And I can't really remember exactly how it goes. I'm not good at reciting quotes, but it's that Rumi quote or poem. It's about removing the barriers. Or in my words, it's about removing the masks. Because as you remove the masks, the false self, the person that we are putting out into the world, as you heal and do the inner work, the personal development, growth work, and you remove the mask, you return to that true self. You return home. That's what my whole entire book is about, Free to Be, because I write about how I went from a people-pleasing and perfectionistic prison, because it is, it's a prison of the mind. Like you said, we just keep perpetuating this pattern, to paradise. And paradise is returning to that true self. It is. Sorry. It is about showing up in the world unapologetically. It's about having unshakable confidence in knowing that no matter what anyone says to you, no matter what anyone does to you, it does not take away from your worth as a human being. And our society is completely the opposite. Just think about school and what happened, or on the football field or basketball court, like coaches, like, what is wrong with you? You suck, you blah, blah, blah. The messages that we received as kids and our future generations, current generations are receiving are you're not worthy. Your achievements and your accolades define who you are. And it's not true. Like, I so, as a recovering perfectionist, was completely tied to my grades, being captain of the soccer team, being captain of the softball team, going to college, the number on the scale, that was a huge one. How much did I weigh? How many friends did I have? What zip code do I live in? How nice is my house? Like, that we think is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. And we keep sending these messages that unless you have blah, 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 then you are not as worthy. And if you have all that, then you are more worthy than someone who doesn't. Like, we just have it so backwards.
I couldn't agree more. This is the chase that leads us down the wrong paths. And as we find ourselves on these paths, we're essentially lost within and lost in our pursuit of, why are we here? What is my purpose? What is the point of all this? And when you get to a place of asking that, it's almost this defeatist mentality, because it's like, why bother trying? I just want to give up, give in, and quit. And unfortunately, many people do. And it saddens me to know that that's wasted talent and gift that you were created with on and for purpose. And I know that not everybody shares the same beliefs as I do, but to truly put that into perspective, you are here with or without consent, right? I mean, sometimes things happen and you're just like, oh, well, you know, my parents didn't want me, or I was unplanned, or my parents planned, but then they separated. So we always have a story, right? We have a story that plays into what we believe about ourselves. And so that same mindset that we can train ourselves to believe one lie, we can also shift the narrative to also believe truth. But it's about which one you feed and which one you seek out. So I think for me, when I was going through my journey, very similar to what you were sharing, it was that aha moment was like, wow. So where does that power lie? And I believe the power lies in your choice. What you choose, you become. What would you say about that?
So I'm going to say this. I can say yes now, but I will say for those that are listening and might be saying to themselves, Rachel, Kim, I've been to therapists, I've taken courses, I've read books, I've done all the things to try to like feel better and try to find my power. And at the end of the day, I just feel like I'm not enough. I still don't feel my worthiness. I can't even say I love myself. I look in the mirror and I hate myself, or whatever their story is. I will say I get it, because it took me a long time. And there was a time when I just thought things would never change, that I would always feel that way about myself and I would never feel my worthiness. But at the same time, what you said, the power lies in choice, is that I kept persevering. I kept on doing the things. I kept doing the reps, as Mel Robbins says. And then I reached a tipping point. It's also in recovery that if you just keep working the program, you're going to have more and more recovery. So then I got to a point where, okay, things tipped. And then all of a sudden it was like the veil was lifted. Of course I'm worthy. Of course. And so what you're saying is it's so important to take those action steps. You can make a choice. And
you might for a long time make the unconscious choice.
And so then you're not going to tap into that power.
But then you'll take one step in this direction where you do make that choice that's on a more conscious level. And you start doing more and more and more. And those start to add up.
And then you're like, okay, now, for example, the other night,
my daughter and I were having a conversation. She's 22.
And it had something to do with her and money, right? And this is like a source of contention for me all the time. It's such a trigger point. And she started to say something and I started to like freeze up, right? I was getting like all like, ooh, in control mode. And then she was starting to react off of me. And then finally she's like, a few minutes in, she's like, Mom, you better go read your own book. She's like, you're locking up. What's going on with you, right? And the moment that she said that, I burst out laughing because I knew that I was falling into an old pattern of I needed to go into control mode. I needed to fix the situation for her because I felt anxious. I felt uncomfortable. So that was my old MO. But in the moment when she called me out, I could have just kept going the old direction, or I could have said, which I did, I chose to laugh. And then I made a new choice, right? And so that's where my power was, because now I brought myself back to equilibrium, but I also reconnected with my daughter because we started to laugh about it and we connected rather than disconnecting, which is a pattern that I used to do with my kids often. And it's a pattern that my mom did with me. So there's the power. I made a choice to break the cycle, break the pattern, and do an, and create a new story, a new pattern, a new neural pathway. So yes, I do agree with you 100%, but I just want to add that caveat for the listener. That's like, oh my God, I can't do it. I can't do it. It takes some time.
It does. And I love that you brought that kind of full circle, because I do want to add also to that as well, is that, you listen, we all have choices. What we choose is essentially what we accept and settle for. So we're choosing, and like you said, subconsciously, we might be choosing the wrong every time. We're picking the wrong envelope until eventually we hit the right one. We're like, oh, wait, something's different. And that light bulb kind of turns on and it allows us now to say, well, I want to start doing more of those choices that give me that kind of the internal reward. We hear the ding, ding. It's the like the reward bell. And when you, as you said, you start now following that path and the little ding, dings and the ding, dings and the ding, ding, all of a sudden these little chimes and the wins and the rewards. But it's not, again, what the world tells you is the reward is status, fame, money, respect, all these things, right? So it's kind of the big things that people are after chasing. But I think it ultimately comes down to, what do you value? What is priority? And what are you willing to accept or settle? So two things that kind of came to mind too, when you talked about earlier, the chaos and dysfunction, you were afraid to speak up or say anything in your household. And that really rang a bell with me, because I remember there was times where I felt like I was walking on eggshells. And we don't realize the pattern. So that same pattern followed me into my adult life until I realized that the same pattern wasn't my pattern. It was my parents' pattern that I picked up and thought that that's the way I should. So a book that I'm sure that you probably have heard of, if not have already read, was super eye-opening and is titled Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents. Have you heard that one?
I have not heard that one, but I will say that I am an adult child of an alcoholic, so I've been in a lot of recovery around that. So my guess is it's probably something similar.
Mm-hmm. It talks about the different patterns and attachments of how we pick up from our parents, who then, if you, again, what I love patterns is kind of like that big ball of yarn. You get that one little thread and you start pulling and all of a sudden things start unraveling.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, I'm going back years ago when I really had to do that deep inner work, especially through my therapy sessions, prayer, my own meditations, like really diving in. And I was just like, man, I feel uncomfortable. Like,
Yami tends to just wanted to
step out and be like, okay, that water is ice cold, or, you know, I'm going to stay over here where it's safe and warm and comfortable. But what does that put us back in? It's the perpetual cycle of self-abuse, because we're going back to what is known and safe and comfortable, where we had that power and control, but yet it's not the outcome of what we're hoping for. So again, that input, output to input, because we think output is going to give us the input, the internal rewards that we're actually after, but yet those expectations don't pan out because there's misalignment, there's miscues, because we haven't actually figured out who we are and what we truly, truly want. So that was my one point that I wanted to bring back, because I forgot about that book for a second. Secondly, when you talked about safety, the safety of feeling confined in this body, in this soul, like the spirit, like, is it safe to speak out? I'm afraid to walk in because my mom might yell at me or my dad might snap at me, right? So it's about feeling safe, emotionally safe. That's something that I've picked up, not only just in this conversation, but through my own. And I was just thinking, you know, how many of us are actually out there just looking for that sense of safety and security in our own existence and in our own thoughts and in our own experiences? Because there's been so many things out there that will say, well, you tried that, you failed, you put yourself out there and you got laughed at, you attempted this, and yeah, what happened? So again, evidence, we're seeking evidence to support the beliefs that we have about ourselves. But again, power of choice will shift that narrative so we can start seeking positive reinforcements and evidence that says, no, we actually are on the right path. So I think it ultimately comes down to really the power of choosing choice and that awareness, because you can always correct course as you go. And then another thing that you had mentioned too is trying to fit in versus belonging. Man, this one really hit home, because I think when I was in the depths of my own journey, I realized how much I was trying to force a square peg into a round hole. And I just kept trying to jam it in there. I'm just like, what? Why is it not fitting? Because when I picked my head up and realized the square can only fit in the square hole, where was I trying to, what box was I trying to put myself in? What circle was I trying to insert myself in? And this desperation of just wanting to be noticed, seen, loved, heard, please accept me, right? I think so many of us have that deep intrinsic motive, but we might be finding ourselves in the wrong places. So that connection and belonging reminds me, you know, when we talk about Brené Brown and the power of vulnerability, Maya Angelou has this beautiful quote, which I know Brené Brown was inspired by, and that is, you are only free when you realize you belong no place. You belong every place, no place at all. The price is high, the reward is great. I got chills.
Oh, me too.
I got goosebumps on that.
Oh my goodness.
And that is the key. That's what I really wish, hope, pray for, that everyone can understand, learn, see, grasp
that it is not out there. It's not out there. You have to go inward.
And we are, again, we said this early on in the conversation, we are conditioned and trained to look outside, to look at the grades, to look at the college that you get into, to look at the how much money you make. Now it's like, even in what you and I do, and I will be honest and say that I do fall prey to watching the numbers on the number of followers or downloads or likes. And so, and I catch myself, and then as you said, and I love what you're saying, that I can pause in the moment and say, okay, Kim, you have a choice right now. You can continue to be prisoner to that external validation metric, or you can turn inward and you can know that regardless of how many likes, how many followers, how many downloads, that even if only one person pays attention to my podcast, that I am still worthy. I'm still that same little girl that knew her true essence or true belonging when she was playing in the snow or riding her bike down the street on my green, lime green bike
with a little basket and the tassels coming out, just flying down the street, just thinking like I was just so free, which is why my book is called Free to Be. So whether or not I have one person who listens and follows me, or I have a million, and I'm being honest, it sometimes can be hard because I'll listen to an episode of Mel Robbins. I'm like, shoot, you know, I could have a conversation with Mel Robbins. And I can hold my own with her. You know, I'd have a great conversation, or with Lewis Howes or Jay Shetty. But they have millions of followers. And then it's so easy to go into, well, and compare, I'm not good enough or whatever. So I love what you're saying. That quote by Maya Angelou is so true. It really is about going inward and just validating for ourselves. And we're not taught that. And that's the paradigm that has to start shifting. And that's why my mission of removing the masks is what it is. Because I want every mom and dad to be talking to their kids about taking off their masks right from an early age. As soon as you can catch that your child is out there trying to be a perfectionist, or they're comparing or self-sabotaging or whatever, to have a conversation about, no, it's okay to be who you are. And that means the parents have to know that too, right? The parents have to first be taking off their masks. So that's my hope for our future.
It's a beautiful hope. And I'm right there with you. It's been, you know, I think we both share this heart for service and a heart for redemption and restoration.
Yeah.
Because we know the chase, the struggle of trying to be every and anything for all the people. At what cost?
Exhausting.
We pay the price because we have lost ourselves. And that's the value that we bring to this world. So if we don't know our inner gifts and our inner knowings and our inner beings, then we are purposeless and directionless. And that's where we turn our focus from inwards to outwards. Yeah. And that's how we start comparing our inner to others' outsides.
So and we start chasing.
Exactly.
So like your book, you start chasing.
Chasing the whole, if everything was perfect, then nobody would know the hot mess and the pain and the struggle and the shame and the hurt that I'm carrying. But I'll just put on that mask because I want to be safe. I don't want to be judged. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be unloved. Right? So we ask ourselves these questions. And I know that, you know, in today's conversation, we're sharing so many tips and some relatable stories and, you know, strategies of how to overcome and navigate certain obstacles that we're going through. But to keep it real, I mean, this is a battle that we fight every day. We don't have our crap together every single day. We're not perfect. We don't, let me pause in that moment and choose this way.
Sometimes hindsight's our best teacher.
Yeah.
Right? But we don't always have the right answer. We don't always make the right choice. We don't always say the right thing. But it's about extending grace and gratitude for what is, because that will change the dynamic of how you view yourself with extended compassion and empathy, because we realize, wow, if I'm going through this, somebody else is too. And right here, we got two perfectionists, former recovering perfectionists. That's what we call ourselves because we're still in the works. We're still in the works.
Yes.
And we know that our work not only has changed the lives of our own, but it has been a catalyst for the work that we do to empower others to make those conscious choices and start taking off the mask, pulling back the layers so that we can really step into who am I? And that's the lifelong journey of self-discovery, because the woman you are today will not be the same woman you are next week, next month, next year, and even 10 years from now. It's the constant evolution. And one of the things that you had brought up at the beginning before we hit record too, and I know we touched upon it in today's episode, but it's about perfection, that letting go of our outcomes and following the intuition and our gut instinct that so many of us ignore because we misalign our head and our heart. So I'd love for you to unpack that and kind of bring this to a close, because, man, I'm going to pause here for a second. If today's episode is hitting with you, you have got to check out Kim's book, Free to Be. If there's anything that I want to add to what we haven't already unpacked,
It's that finding freedom. And freedom, what does that mean to you? Because when you can define it for your own, you stop looking externally for somebody else to define it for you. So the free to be is the journey. Who are you? And what do you want? What do you stand for? What do you want to leave this world off better than how you found it? So,
Kim,
yeah,
thank you for both skills and intuition. Thank you for sharing about my book. And I think we have been really touching upon this throughout this conversation. And again,
like
as a recovering perfectionist, I was always attached to the outcome, attached to the grades, to the accolades, the achievements. And even now, as I'm doing my business, my book, I can easily get caught up in, this is the way things are supposed to be done. This is what other people have done. You post on Instagram, you do this. You post on TikTok, you do that. You go and appear on other people's podcasts. You do all these things, check, 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 right? That's when we're really attached to the outcomes. But the key is, and you've been saying this in different words throughout the conversation, is to really tap into your gut, your intuition. Rather than letting someone tell you how you're supposed to be doing it, only you know the best way for you to show up in the world. Only you know the best way to self-express. And if you're going to try to do it according to the expectations, the rules, the standards of others, you're going to fall short every single time. Because as you said, we come in with these gifts, like spiritual gifts, and there's a path for us. And if we don't follow the intuition, and what I've been saying a lot lately is I'm learning to follow the yellow brick road, or I'm learning to follow the breadcrumbs, which is this dance between my intuition and the universe, or God, or higher power, whatever anyone wants to call it, that is speaking to me through my intuition. So like the book, I didn't want to write the book. I was like, no way am I going to bear myself that way in the book. But my soul just kept calling me and calling me. And I just followed my intuition. And the book was birthed and born. But the minute that I go into trying to like, okay, now I've got to do all these things, I'm just in this anxious, nervous energy, and I'm trying to control it with my mind and my thoughts because I'm attached to a certain outcome. So when you let go, and now that I'm starting to let go, it's amazing to me how many times it's coming across my radar, whether it's in a book that I read, Melody Beattie's Language of Letting Go, or a podcast, or someone saying, the way to do it is to just relax and just let go. Just let go. In fact, today's reading from Language of Letting Go and Melody Beattie's was just that. It's just like, relax. You don't have to force anything. You don't have to make anything happen. You don't have to control. If you feel that you're in this forcing, controlling energy, you're trying to force an outcome, and you're not listening to your intuition. It is really a muscle that you have to build. It's a muscle you have to build, especially if you're a perfectionist, you have to build it. But once you do, that unfolding of your life, as you said, the journey is so exciting because there's such a curiosity. What's next? What's next? So that's my best way of unpacking that.
I love that, the curiosity, and going back to be more childlike, the innocence, the wonderment, the awe. And that's part of what it is. It's like returning to the youth before it was stolen and told you should be and you should do, and then you can have this beautiful life. Yeah. And what that beautiful life is exactly what you created as that child. So
yeah,
going back to what was before what was told you should be.
I literally just recorded a, I don't know if you saw it, it was on Instagram. I just did a reel the other day riding my bike. I was holding my phone and recording, but the point of the video was to invite the person watching to return to that childlike wonder. What did you do as a child that made you feel free? Swinging on a swing, riding your bikes, going down the road, holding my phone.
Right. I mean, it's funny because, like I said, you know, hindsight, our best teacher, when you go back and just navigate all the little things, you're like, it was there this whole time. And I found stories about myself and patterns, and I could just find myself into those placings as a small child, like, that's when I was up in my room and I was drawing and sketching designs. And then I didn't know 20 years later, I would be designing pieces or writing sad, what I thought sad, depressing, dark homes because of how I felt and I didn't have an outlet, but that gave me context to write in ways that articulated pain and feelings that gave voice and words to people that didn't have what they'd gone through. So I just share those little tidbits for our listeners, because what little quirks and idiosyncrasies and like the weird things that make you feel like you were weird and outcasted and not accepted, because we kind of minimize those because we were so desperate to be in a place of acceptance and belonging that we sacrifice pieces of our identity to fit into this box or mold or the shoulds. I encourage you to go back and explore those. Those little cool things that you enjoyed might just be the passions, the interests, the hobbies that can set you up for something that is greater than where you're at today. So you have to ask yourself, am I willing to settle, or am I willing to accept that there's something greater for me? And in that choice, that power of choosing, we have the power now to either continue to hold on to what is, knowing that the tighter we hold on, it's going to have more power and control over us, when on the other side, we really want to have power and control, which means letting go. And that's where you step fully into freedom. Freedom is the surrender to what is out of control and trusting that what is greater than what was.
I want to continue this conversation, but we are short and we're running out of time here.
So I know. I would love for you to kind of just pull this all together and any last final notes that we haven't discussed. And of course, how people can follow you, connect, and get their hands on a copy of your book. It is so needed.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate being on your show, and this conversation was amazing. I'm so passionate about all of this. And I think I already said it, but one thing I might want to just reiterate is, especially if the listeners are moms or planning to have kids, or even if it's your niece or nephew or something, is to really help the next generation. It's so imperative that we switch the paradigm and start teaching and helping them to not put on the masks or to take them off. And it's so important to just be your true self. So I just want to say that. And then the best place to find me is my website, kimgrosscoaching.com, which is where my book, Free to Be, is. It's also on like Amazon. I have my podcast is on there and all the socials. Plus I have a people pleaser and perfectionist quiz. And then I have my 5-step power pathway, which is all on the website.
Awesome. Well, of course, all of that will be in the show notes below. So be sure to check that out and give Kim a follow. Just connect. If you read the book, reach out. This is what we do. We create content and we hope that it encourages and inspires and empowers you to become a better version of you. So thank you, Kim. This has been incredible.
Thank you so much. I loved it.
Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.